This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Lynn and Ezra on the Evening Edition. Of course, we're taking a look at more stories today. Now, there's a story about how the government, as proposed by the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, or IDEAS, they've said that the government should relax the regulations for both e-hailing services and traditional taxi services, as proposed rules would create significant new costs and barriers.
So this has come off its policy paper titled E-Hailing Regulations Striking the Right Balance, and the idea here was to consider the economic impact of e-hailing in Malaysia for consumers, drivers, as well as the traditional taxi industry. And one thing that's come out of it is also that IDEAS has said that while it welcomes the government's move to regulate instead of ban, these proposed regulations might create significant new costs and barriers for both e-hailing operators and drivers.
It's a funny thing about regulation, isn't it? It's, in one way, you want to sort of create the right parameters to ensure that things actually work, that folks don't swindle one another.
Of course.
But at the same time, it creates all sorts of issues regards to entry costs and barriers, and it sort of defeats purpose all over again.
Also, I wonder, I mean, here they're talking specifically about barriers to entry for operators and for drivers, and I wonder at what point does that cost end up getting translated to the consumer? Because, of course, if there are fewer drivers, then presumably the cost, the demand goes up.
Yeah.
It's just a simple fact. And that would in turn affect the cost of my ride, right?
Yeah.
And so I suppose the question here then is whether or not people would welcome regulations if it meant that there would be that increase in fares.
Yeah, and this other sort of element to it is, of course, earlier we were doing a story about Gojek entering into the Singaporean market. There was, some discussion about a bit of a monopoly by Grab in Singapore after Uber left, at some point in time. And, they're doing the beta test there. Are we sort of looking at ourselves and saying, can some of these new companies potentially want to test it over here? Or is Singapore just a much easier space to do it? And because regulation can be created and done in such a way where it's more welcoming, right, for a lot of these companies, and there's that cooperation between all the relevant stakeholders.
No, definitely. I think what you're trying to say basically is Singapore is more organized than we are.
I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I think.
On the other hand, though, I would like to hear from you. I mean, I don't personally take Grab simply because I don't know what to do about the social interaction between driver and passenger. So I kind of avoid.
Really?
Yes, it's a strange thing. I don't know. Is small talk expected?
Not anymore. When it was first introduced, everyone was, having a great weather today, wasn't it? Yeah, everybody was kind of doing that.
What do you do? Yeah.
I'm happy to have a little bit of a chit-chat if they're up for it. But the first thing that I try to say is that when they start going over a bump, like if they just sort of run over it, then we stop the conversation. Just drive. Focus on the driving.
Right. So that's how you do it. We would like to hear from you. Let us know. Have you noticed a price increase in e-hailing services? And are you pro-regulation when it comes to these things? I mean, do you think that there needs to be that kind of... would you still be for it if it meant that eventually the costs might be transferred to you?
Mm-hmm. Of course, you can call us at 77332900, tweet us at BFM Radio, and WhatsApp us at 01878988899. We're now heading straight to the source of the report. Joining us now is Lawrence Todd, Director of Research and Development at IDEAS. That's the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. Lawrence, thank you for being with us on the Evening Edition. What's your overall view of the government's new regulations on taxi and e-hailing services?
Well, look, I think the first thing to say is that it's good that there are regulations being brought in terms of passenger safety and putting these services on a firmer legal footing. I think the problem comes in when you start to look at the detail and how the new regulations will introduce significant new costs for e-hailing operators and for drivers. In the case of the operators, the new license that will be required is coming in at a cost of 115 ringgit per vehicle per year, which is pretty high. And when it comes to the drivers, we estimate that the approximate cost of the new license requirements, the new driving courses, will come to over 300 ringgit and about 20 hours of admin time, which is pretty significant when you consider that most of the e-hailing drivers are actually part-time. So So those are, represent quite significant barriers to entry, both for drivers and operators.
So how do you see the government's current plans for price regulation affecting cost?
Well, in the case of e-hailing, what they're proposing to do is limit the surcharge that e-hailing companies can apply to the fares at peak times. And the risk here is that when you start controlling prices, you inhibit the proper functioning of the market. So in this case, let's say you disincentivize drivers because they can't earn those high rates at peak times, which is actually what makes it an attractive job. And therefore, you might reduce the overall number of drivers. And that might have the effect of raising prices in general, so you pay more in general, even though the peak prices are kept a bit lower.
So, Lawrence, in your paper, you suggest liberalizing taxi prices and removing price controls on e-hailing services. How will that affect prices?
Well, what we're really proposing is to allow prices to move more naturally. I mean, price controls can be justified in the case where you have, for example, you know, a natural monopoly where there's only one provider. But what we see now is that there are different taxi companies and there are different e-hailing companies. And in the case of taxi companies, they have been subject to pretty strong price controls for a long time now. And e-hailing came in without any price controls and actually was able to offer lower prices, which shows you that a more natural market can be more effective in terms of delivering lower prices for the consumer.
So you're also of the opinion that the regulations will lower competitiveness. How exactly?
Well, for competition, what you want is it for to be easy for new players to enter the market. And that's the danger with the regulations, is that they create high barriers for new operators. So the fact that new operators would have to pay over 100 ringgit for every vehicle in their fleet every year, this is quite a lot for a significant additional charge for operators. So that potentially inhibits the extent to which we could see new companies coming in and competing with the current dominant players.
Now, the new regulations don't seem to solve, I guess, what can be considered the main issue for taxi drivers, the taxi companies. Is that something that should be addressed?
It's a very good point. I think we can all agree that the taxi industry has had quite a tough time. Taxis, not just in Malaysia, but globally, have always been subject to a very high level of regulation. And that, in some cases, unfortunately in Malaysia, has led to cases of rent-seeking and a politicization of the process of acquiring taxi permits, and that attracts high costs. And then as a result, you get drivers locked into pretty expensive lease arrangements. So I think, you know, what we propose is to make things easier for the taxi drivers alongside the e-hailing drivers by liberalizing the system around permits, possibly by looking at relaxing prices, though we understand that is quite a dramatic step. So it's definitely the case that we want to improve the situation for taxi drivers too.
So how are the how are the regulatory needs for ride-hailing services different from those for taxis?
Well, I actually don't think that the regulatory needs between taxi drivers and e-hailing drivers need to be particularly different. There are, of course, some differences in the services. For example, taxis have the option to street hail, whereas e-hailing drivers do not. But of course, many taxis use e-hailing technology. So there isn't a kind of clear line. I think we should avoid characterizing it as this hard and fast distinction. You know, you're either a taxi or an e-hailing driver, because many people are both. So I think it's about setting the right regulation that's fair to drivers, fair to operators, and applying those fairly across the board.
Lawrence, I'm quoting the article on Free Malaysia Today, and it says, ideas said the negative consequences largely arose from the government's approach of copying across existing regulations applied to traditional taxi services. So what would you suggest the government do instead?
Well, I think the key point is to recognize that the reason we have quite high taxi regulations, it dates back for arguments that have been around for about 30, 40 years, a lot of which have been overtaken by technology. So this emergence of e-hailing provides a really good opportunity to take a bit of a blank slate approach and to look at the regulation on taxis and say, okay, can we make this market simpler, loosen it up, make it more free, and to do that to make things better for drivers and also for consumers, and then apply that same loose regulation to e-hailing services rather than the risk that we seem to be going down of taking the high level of regulation that's currently applied to taxis and are trying to impose as many of those as possible on e-hailing services. So I think it's about taking a blank slate approach and looking at the opportunity to start fresh, both for taxis and e-hailing.
So are there any models from elsewhere that we could or should follow?
Actually, in some ways, what Malaysia is doing is very pioneering, quite innovative in the way it's defined e-hailing operators as intermediary businesses, not transport companies. And actually, I think, you know, Malaysia is to be applauded for taking the approach of trying to provide a stable regulatory system rather than banning it, which is actually the most common approach in other countries. So I think it's actually a good opportunity for kind of Malaysian leadership in setting out an innovative framework that makes things competitive for both traditional taxi services and the new e-hailing service.
Well, Lawrence, thank you very much again for speaking to us. That was Lawrence Todd, Director of Research and Development at IDEAS. That's the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. You know, we're certainly hoping that some sort of resolve occurs on this, because many people have been waiting and hoping for a solution that really serves all stakeholders and parties.
Well, I mean, we know that the regulations will be kicking in, that there will be that there will be registrations that are required.
Yep.
I think the hope here then is that it doesn't make the barriers of entry too high for many people who may be doing this because they must, you know,
yes,
because
absolutely.
You need a second job, because yep. you just, you know, you need the extra cash. And so for those people, you absolutely do not want to have it get to a point where the barriers of entry are too high and they just get turned away from it.
Tell us what you think. Tweet us at BFM Radio. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. It's 7:46 p.m. on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.